Our First Testament lesson can be found in Genesis 11, 1 through 9. If you'd like to follow along, it starts on page 9 of the Old Testament in the Pew Bible. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. The word of the Lord.
Our reading from the Second Testament today comes from the book of Acts. I am in chapter 4, starting at verse 32. Let us listen for God's word. "Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned land and houses, they sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as they had need." The word of the Lord. Idolatry has gotten a bad reputation. And let me explain why I believe that is. Making idols was not something that was uncommon for many years. It was an image of the god that one worshipped, and it was originally meant to travel with someone. This idol would go from place to place as people looked for resources. When humanity was still a largely nomadic tribal nations, they needed something that represented their gods that could travel with them. And these small carvings of stone and wood served their purposes well. These statues, these idols, bore the image of the god that they worshipped so that they could offer praise wherever they were. As nations arose that had a static center of power, leaders also wanted their people to worship their image. And so they commissioned idols to be made to remind their citizens who was in power. The emperor or pharaoh would put these image-bearing idols strategically around their territory, and they served to inform invaders of who they would have to deal with if they crossed those borders, and reminded citizens who they owed thanks for their safety and who they owed taxes to. Idols were a way to distinguish who belonged to a community and who a person showed loyalty to. If you visited someone's home and they had an idol of Osiris, you knew who they worshipped and maybe found fellowship with a fellow believer. If a home had the image of Pharaoh at their front door, troops knew to pass by because they were loyal citizens. This kind of imagery is still used today. We put our leaders on our money. We build statues to local heroes. We hang flags outside of our homes to show where our loyalties lie. The images that we surround ourselves with show who and what our values are, who we think deserves to be emulated, and gathers us around common goals. Idols are not innately bad, they are just the image of the thing we value the most. They are images that we find value enough to display prominently. There is a reason idols collect a lot of baggage over the years. Some of those images that leaders have used have become symbols of the destructive values they encouraged. The swastika is an example of how an idol, that one image that represents a leader and a group of people, becomes a symbol of hate and violence because the people who flew that flag embodied what was bad and turned that image into something evil. The story from Genesis encourages us to examine the idols that we put around ourselves, to look at what they promote and what they stand for. In the story, we meet humanity while it is still just one community that travels together as a unit. A community that was able to imagine and invent incredible things. And their newest invention is the brick. Before this technology, they were limited by stone. Stone is hard to build with. It needs to be found and moved and shaped and balanced and placed just right among other stones to make a structure. Bricks, though, stack very easily. And a person can make hundreds of bricks, baking them in the desert sun, which exponentially increases a person's building potential. The humans of Babel are so proud of their technology, they decide to make a structure that will project into the world who they are, a tower that will be the image of who they are, powerful and innovative, and will always say, "Look at what we can do." God, however, wanted that brick to be used in a different way. God's not opposed to this tower, but God can see how all-consuming this project is going to get. The humans set their sights on heaven, an outrageous goal, sure to fail. And God knows that they will never be satisfied with this tower's results. Once their eyes are set on making a tower that reaches heaven, it will become all-consuming. All brick production will be directed towards that tower. If anyone wants to use a brick, they will be denied access because they must first build their tower. It will become the focus of all their energy. They could make stronger homes for their families or hospitals or a worship space, but instead, humans hoard the resource into one tower. Collecting and hoarding resources is not what God wants for humanity. It's not how this creativity that God gifts to us is supposed to be used. God creates in ways that increases diversity, and humanity has lost sight by hyper-focusing on this one idea and project. So God steps in to redirect their behavior. Their language is confused, and they are split into groups scattered across all of the earth to find new places to settle and create new community. And it's easy to imagine how these new communities then take the technology of the brick, and one community builds a wall of protection that we still can see from space today. Another community builds a huge library in Alexandria to house the knowledge of all of humanity. Another group takes the brick and creates a worship space, finally using the brick to honor who God has made them to be. What was going to be one tower is now an impressive variety of structures, equally as impressive, and in line with God's love of diversity. God could see how entrapped humanity was going to get in this tower and knew that the potential that this technology held was more than what they were using it for. So God split them up so they could live into their full potential. This is how idols turned that were created to be just simple images to remind us of where our loyalties are and who we loved become an issue when idols become all-consuming, when we hoard resources to feed that idol, to turn all of our energy to upholding what this idol stands for, we lose sight of the potential for diversity and new ways to use the resources available to us. Since the brick, we've come up with a lot of other wonderful technologies. Five of them have something very much in common that I wonder if anybody knows. Do you know what has in common Coca-Cola, Listerine, Slinkies, Play-Doh, and Rogaine? These five products are very similar. They were all invented with one purpose, but allowed diversity to turn them into the successes we know them today. Coca-Cola was originally intended to help people with morphine addictions, and now it's a favorite drink internationally. Listerine was once a floor cleaner, and now many of us this morning used it to wash our mouths. Slinkies were made to stabilize nautical devices, but someone accidentally knocked it off of a workbench and brought joy to everyone in the workroom, and it is now a beloved toy. Play-Doh was supposed to be wallpaper cleaner, but now it's stuck in all of our carpets. I mean, it is also a toy that we all love. And Rogaine was created to lower blood pressure, which it does, but it also increased hair growth. Imagine our world if any one of these inventors had hoarded their invention and focused all their energy on maintaining their original purpose for their new technology. Thankfully, they listened to others and allowed for their vision to shift and diversify and spread throughout the world. They let others share their ideas and create the products that we enjoy today. When an idol is created, it can be an image that rallies community and declares shared values, and it can also become a distraction. When we become too invested in maintaining the idol and presenting it a certain way, it limits the possibilities for new and better expressions of who we are. That is why the scene from Acts stands in direct opposition of what happened at Babel. The early church is gathered, and they collect their resources. But instead of building something big and beautiful to declare to the world, here we are, they decide to spread their resources and meet the needs of their community. They make sure that everyone is fed. They house and clothe everyone in their community. Everything that they have is shared amongst them. If someone is in more need, they make sure that they get everything they need to become equal with the rest of the community. Nobody has more or is more powerful, and nobody has less or is less valued. The Roman Empire at first didn't care what the Christians were doing. They assumed that this structure would only be attractive to the poor and that we would soon run out of money and resources and collapse under the economy of Rome. But it didn't. And what was worse was that it attracted the rich too. They felt fulfilled by the message of the gospel in a way that their possessions and power never allowed them to feel. The Christians kept growing, and Rome got scared. This was a really threatening structure to the empire. If these pockets of Christians could prove that this communal structure could work, it meant pressure on Rome to provide similar social supports. And Roman emperors did not like that structure. The structure of sharing meant that they would have to have less. This fear sparked the organized persecution against the early church, and the violence of the Colosseum all but wiped out Christians, solely because their way of living was disproving the need for empire. God's idol was attracting more people than the emperor's idol. God's idol is what the Christians rallied around. They were committed to the image of God that was placed in each human being that they met. Because that is what an idol is. Just the image of a leader or a god placed somewhere to remind us of who we are. Humanity was God's idol. By caring for one another, they were committed to presenting the image of God in the best way possible. Where they saw sickness, they worked to bring health so that that image of God could shine. Where they saw starvation or thirst, they worked to repair that person so that they could better present the image of God. It was a great offense to smash or deface anyone's idol. And so the early church took offense when they saw God's image without proper nutrition, or when they saw God's image naked, or when they saw God's image being killed by unjust systems. God placed image inside of every human, and that is the idol that Christians work to honor. It is an idol that encourages diversity because we have little pieces all amongst us and not just collected in one place. It ensures equality because when I see a piece of God's image in need, I give. And I also receive back when I am in need. It is a system that everything in our world demands that we reject because honoring the image of God in every person completely negates the ideals of empire. It is a system that we have not yet lived fully into the potential of, but Babel is yelling at us from Scripture in every language imaginable to keep working towards God's diverse and innovative way of sharing, to work against hoarding. The tower will never do us any good. Hoarding resources will never be what God wants for us. When we have something of value, we must fight the urge to build a tower for our own glory and instead break it apart, share it, and spread it through all of the world. Because our God's image is inside of humanity. And we must open our eyes to see where the image of God is being suppressed or even completely choked out. Where the world creates idols that attract energy and resources, our idol lives in every human being we encounter. The empires of this world will fight against this way of life. They will try to isolate us, make us too busy to notice the need. They will make us afraid of the change that will lead to true innovation. The work of restoring God's image will be hard work, and we will do it anyway. until we are one in heart and soul, and there is no needy person among us. Amen.